From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program in our Savior's name. I'm glad to have you join us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, you're very welcome once again to our gospel program. We're going to listen to a hymn before we turn to the book of the Revelation. It's the late Jack Halcombe singing, Search Me, O God. We're going to take up our study of the book of the Revelation just at the end of the chapter 4, where we left off last week. I have one final point that I want to make regarding the creatures that we read about in the verses 6 and 7 who are round about the throne. The English word beasts is likely to give the wrong impression of the creatures here described, since it is the same word that is used to describe the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, and in other places. While the words are the same in the English, they are very different in the Greek, the language in which the book of the Revelation was written. The Antichrist is literally a wild beast, while these in the midst of the throne and round about the throne are literally living creatures. They are heavenly creatures, the very same as those seen by Isaiah, and of whom he speaks in Isaiah chapter 6 and the verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel specifically calls the living creatures cherubims in chapter 10 of his book and the verses 20 to 22. The close proximity of these creatures to the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, indicates the exalted position that they occupy in the administration of God. They are most likely the chief of God's angelic beings, whoever stand ready to do His bidding, and are engaged in His administering of His affairs. Are these not matters of which we know very little, dear Christian. Yet one day we shall know. We come now to the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation. I think I could entitle this chapter, The Seal Book, The Slain Lamb, and The Singing Saints. That just about embraces all that we will find in this chapter. There is gospel order to be observed in this chapter. We see first a scroll, then a sacrifice, and finally a song. Every true believer will recognize that order as the one through which their soul passed on its spiritual journey from nature's darkness to the light of God's salvation. They were first taken to the Word of God, which brought them to Christ, the bleeding Lamb, and then they sang the song of redemption. First of all, let's look at the sealed book. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. Verse 1. First of all, note the authority of the book. In a day when the Bible is despised and its teaching belittled, it is important to remember that the Lord Jesus began his ministry with the Word of God in his hand. His ministry began in the synagogue of Nazareth, and of its commencement we read, "There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Luke chapter 4, the verses 17 to 21. When he sent out his disciples to preach the gospel to the world, it was with the Word of God in their hands. Paul summed up his message in his memorable words before King Agrippa, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Acts chapter 26, the verses 22 and 23. The Word of God, containing the revelation of his purpose in Christ, how he would die to redeem a people, and the nature and extent of the redemption he would accomplish for them, is forever settled in heaven. It is in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Verse 1. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, says the Lord Jesus, shall not pass away." Mark chapter 13, verse 31. But notice also the description of the book in the hand of Christ. It is sealed with seven seals. An understanding of the significance of this sealing of the book may be had by looking at Jeremiah chapter 32 and the verses 6 to 12. In this chapter, Jeremiah is depicting the Lord delivering his people and their land into the hands of the Babylonians as a punishment for their sins. Verses 2 to 5. But Jeremiah also was to engage in the purchase of a field, and by so doing, demonstrate that the land of Israel would return one day to the ownership of God's people, and that such a purchase would not be a lost investment. What is particularly interesting was the legal requirement to have two deeds of seal, one sealed and one unsealed. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 11. When the property was to be redeemed, then the one redeeming it would have to produce the sealed deed to prove right of ownership. Christ, the Redeemer of God's elect, possesses a sealed book that is evidence of his right of ownership of a people and all that pertains to their eternal happiness and glory. He made that purchase at Calvary, when he offered his blood as the price of redeeming his elect from captivity and condemnation under sin. Christ's elect people are his inheritance. He has yet to claim his possession and enter into it, but he will one day. Presently, each child of God is sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1:14. The day of the opening of the seals and the claiming of his inheritance by Christ draws ever nearer. Consider the contents of the book. Just as the document Jeremiah drew up and sealed contained a description of the location, character, and extent of the field he purchased, so the sealed book contained a full description of the purchase Christ made. In all the promises and prophecies of the Bible, we have a full description of all that pertains to our Savior's inheritance in the saints. Fourthly, the sorrow at the unopened book. Verse 4 says that John wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. If none had the authority to open the book and redeem the lost inheritance, then indeed it was a time for weeping. But praise God, there is one who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals. It is the Lord Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 5. Man without hope of redemption is a miserable being. Little wonder he spends himself upon entertainment and pleasure. He must by some means seek to drive from his thoughts the truth about the dire circumstances of his soul. Yet for all that, he will not hearken to the gladsome tidings of salvation in Christ. O listener, poor sinner, bowed down under a terrible burden of sin that will press you down to your grave and to eternal hell, yet you are blind and deaf to hope and cheer as it is set before you in the gospel of Christ. Hearken, hearken to the gospel today, for it is a gospel of hope for those whose case is hopeless. May you turn to the Savior and receive him as yours, and know your sins forgiven and heaven secured for all eternity. We will be returning to chapter 5 of the book of the Revelation. God bless you, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.